Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, if it's snowing already out there, be safe. Don't drive like a jerk. That means actually, you know, like abide by the speed limit. I know many of you, that's a foreign concept. Like, I go over the speed limit, it's like 7 or 8 miles over the speed limit. We don't need to be going 90 in a 55, guys. Just be safe out there, huh? Give someone a break. We don't need to be tailing lanes. Like, stay in your damn lane. Be safe. Do something smart for a change. All right, hour number three. All of our picks coming up. Maddie, I don't know if you know this, but we are we're trying very, 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 very hard to get over 500.
I was about to say, weren't we just under 500 with the last couple of weeks?
Yeah. Not,
we've been riding the line.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to stay above 500.
Yeah.
Not as well as the coin has, by the way.
I mean, the coin had an interesting year, right?
Coin had a very interesting year. It's coming down to the last week.
And that's in our show picks, by the way. And that's straight up. That's not against the spread.
If anybody wants to put some money down on the money, I had the Giants and I had the Patriots winning.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Put 50 cents on those two in a two-game parlay, and you might win $1,000.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to get our official record for the actual six-pack picks. I copied it into a document, and of course, the dummy that I am, I can't remember where I copied it. So I'm trying to find it, but I will get it for you before we do the picks coming up next segment. Let's get to Telly. He's been waiting on hold for a while, so we want to give him a crack. What's up, Telly? How are you?
Hail to the Redskins, Chris Hustle. What's poppin'?
Hail to the Telly. What's going on?
Hey, man, I got it. Let me shout out my man Paulie, man. He hit some on the nose, and I've been speaking this. You know, he was going back, you know, since the Gruden era and every coach since Gruden. It's just this shotgun message, you know, and it's the old saying goes, you live by the gun, you die by the gun. You know what I mean? As innovative as Kingsbury is, you know what I mean? He could be more innovative on that running game. And that does involve helping your quarterback out by putting him under the center at times. You can still do a whole lot while you're on the center, even if you want to pass it. But it brings out the play action pass and allows the running back to see
it.
The
does,
field
but let me ask you this, Telly. If here's the deal, though, right? As we know, college offenses have gone more shotgun, more pistol all the time, right? So quarterbacks are really raised in that. So we understand that less quarterbacks are under center, not all, but less quarterbacks are under center way less in college. And then as they transition to the NFL, they've got so many other things to worry about. One thing that a lot of offensive coordinators don't want to do is, again, ask them to be under center so that in addition to reading, processing, running the offense, checks, this, that, and the other thing, they're also worried about footwork. They're also worried about drop length, all that stuff. So I think that's why, obviously, we get a lot of shotgun and pistol. So that means, because of that, isn't it an obvious telltale sign if you're, let's just say, 95% not under center? Isn't it kind of a telltale tendency if on, say, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, Commanders go for it on 4th down a lot, if you put a quarterback under center when normally he's not under center, that they're going to run the ball, right? I mean, and that's kind of like that's sort of my point about when everybody screams that a quarterback's got to be under center or no runs out of shotgun. Yeah, the problem is if everything else that you run is largely out of shotgun, if not overwhelmingly out of gun or pistol, then isn't that a telltale sign that we're mixing something up, or we're going to largely probably run the football instead of maintaining your ability to do RPO, instead of maintaining your ability to just simply run different types of runs, instead of maintaining your ability to just throw the football, right, out of gun? Does that not make sense, or?
It does make sense, but it's not a telltale sign. I mean, if you're dominating the line of scrimmage and you have your running back on the center and your running backs are thriving and your line is thriving off of that and controlling the line of scrimmage when you're on the center and you're on third and goal, it's a no-brainer to say, okay, they're going to run the ball. But when you got a dynamic player like you do in JD5, everything is open. So while you're expecting to run, well, now you have your fate. Now you have your naked bootlegs. Now you have your run, and even in the pistol, I'm not mad at the pistol at all. But that's what make it a pro style offense. So yes, you take what you did in college, but when you come to the pros, it's up for that OC to mold that offense around your quarterback like they did in 2012, and they were smashing heads. But you still have to establish the line and maintain the line of scrimmage. And I think going forward, that's where your offensive line thrives at versus backpedaling and allowing the defense to come at them and tee off.
That's all fair. And again, maybe what they'll do is not this Sunday, but maybe against whoever the opponent is, maybe you'll see more of that. You know, because Jaden's smart enough and athletic enough, obviously, and experienced now enough, I think, to run more of that. And it does give you some other options and it does give you some other looks as long as you're not giving away a strong tendency. And that's, I guess, my worry is that if you're primarily in gun or pistol and you all of a sudden line up under center again, if I'm the defense, I'm like, oh, they don't do that. They don't do that. They don't do that. They're trying to run the ball. And now we can play, you know, basically a little bit more aggressively. But I could be wrong on that. Did we lose Telly? I guess we lost Telly.
We lost Telly.
That's all right. I mean, that's an argument that I hear a lot of. And I understand that. You ideally don't want to start a run 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Got it. Because it allows for penetration. And then you get bottled up and stuck. But again, if you run, and I would have to crunch the numbers, but I mean, if you run a large, large, large part of your offense out of gun and pistol, and then all of a sudden on 4th and 1, I line up under center. I mean, it's kind of a telltale sign, is it not? That's what you call a tendency or a tendency breaker. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. By the way, we will give you the official numbers, but we were 4-2 last week in our picks, which are coming up here in a sec. As far as the game goes on Sunday, listen, the Cowboys have played tough for Mike McCarthy, and I would expect nothing more. I would be surprised if they got rolled over for a second week in a row because Philadelphia did take it to them. But Dallas is 7-9, right? It's not like Dallas is 4-12. Going into this game. And the Cowboys know, players know, that there's a possibility that Mike McCarthy could be back. Or there's a probably better than 50-50 possibility that he won't be back and that they'll be auditioning on tape for a new head coach. So if you expect guys like Rico Dowdell, who's, by the way, got over 1,000 yards, or Jalen Tolbert, or what's his name? Kevontae Turbin. I mean, if you expect those guys to just lay down, I don't think so. I don't think so. Dowdell has over 100 yards from scrimmage combined in 4 out of his last 5 games. I mean, I didn't realize how good of a year ultimately he's had. Is he just dominant? No, of course not. But he's got over 1,000 rushing yards. Now, is 1,000 rushing yards in 16 games anything like, whoa? No. And it never really has been. I thought that was a misnomer all along. Even in a 16-game season, it was like an average of 64 yards per game, which is fine, but it's nothing special. I always thought it was like, well, you know, you would have to get like 1,300 yards or whatever before we started talking about something special. But they've got some weapons that can still hurt you. And don't forget what happened on special teams in terms of the kickoff returns. Not only Kevontae Turbin, but the other kid too, that took the short onside kick late in the game after Turpin's 95-yarder. And again, like, we don't know if Cooper Rush is going to start and play the whole game, if Trey Lance is going to play half. We don't know. I would guess Cooper Rush is going to start and maybe play a quarter, quarter and a half, somewhere in that range, and then we'll see Trey Lance. That would be my guess, but we don't know. They didn't have Brandon Cooks the last matchup. They do now. Now, they don't have CeeDee Lamb. And that's huge. Washington, I still don't know what they're going to do if it looks like Austin Ekeler is ready to go. I think they want to get him some game action. You got Chris Rodriguez. You got Jeremy McNichols. And you got Brian Robinson. We didn't spend enough time on this. I would probably be very, 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 very cautious, if not sit him out, Brian Robinson. Something is still not right there. And certainly part of it is the offensive line. I'm not suggesting that it's not. Something is not right. The fumbles, the lack of production. Now, he did have a productive drive, a couple of explosive-type runs, if you will, after Chris Rodriguez's touchdown drive. So that was the second long touchdown drive. But it's not like he was like, oh, dominant after that. He just had a couple of good pops. So I don't know if Brian Robinson could benefit from being down and being fresher. Remember, he's missed, what, 3 games, parts of 2 others so far this year. I mean, he's been banged up. Maybe you get him some rest, and maybe he's what Aaron Jones was for Green Bay last year against Dallas. You get an advantageous matchup, and Robinson can hit one, just like he did against Tennessee. Maybe. We'll see. All right. Let's take a timeout. Our picks, our Super Sunday six-pack selections coming up next, including the Commanders and the Cowboys. Of course, that is always part of the mix as we try and figure out how to get above 500 right here on our Super Sunday, our Super Six-Pack selections on a Week 18 Sunday in the NFL final regular season picks segment of the year. Straight ahead. All right, good to have you with us on a feel-good football Friday. Normally you hear this song, it means John Carlson scored a goal. He did not score a goal last night. Martin Ferravari scored a goal, though, from the blue line as part of a Caps overtime loss. We will get more on that in cleanup on aisle 3 as we look ahead to everything that we haven't been able to cover, or as many things as we haven't been able to cover. But first, we got to give you not only our top six teams in the NFL entering week 18, 1 through 6, but we also have to give you our six picks against the NFL spread, including the Cowboys and the Commanders. Let's do it, baby. That's right. A 4-2 week last week puts us at 44, 45, and 2 on the year. We barely lost the Rams-Cardinals game, but we lost. We did win the Bills minus the 9.5 against the Jets, the Jaguars plus 1 against Tennessee, Minnesota minus 1.5 against Green Bay, and we had the Commanders minus 4.5 at home against Atlanta for our four wins. We lost, again, the Rams, Arizona, and we lost Saints and Las Vegas. All right, so let's get to it. 44, 45, and 2. Let's see if we can get over 500 on the year. Game one, tomorrow afternoon in Baltimore, hun. Listen. Cleveland stinks. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I wouldn't trust him if you paid me. I got it. I understand. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, all of that. Zay Flowers, I got it. The Browns are awful. They're 3-13. But it's still a division game. And I feel like, despite the music letting me down, I feel like the Browns can hang in there. They're not going to win. I'm not saying that they're going to win, but they are plus 20. They're 20-point dogs. I'm sorry. I'm a sucker. I can't resist. Give me the fighting Dorian Thompson-Robinsons, who should worry more about, like, playing better than how people refer to him, DTR and all that crap. I guess he doesn't want to be known as that. Whatever. I don't care. You're DTR to me. Plus 20 are the Brownies in Baltimore, hon, tomorrow afternoon. Saturday night, game two of a doubleheader, a double dip on Saturday. Stay warm by the fire, baby. The Pittsburgh Steelers have fallen on hard times. Yes, they have. I think they've lost 3 in a row. It might be 4 in a row. And now they take on hard-charging Cincinnati. They are 2.5-point dogs at home. At some point, I'm going to be right on the Steelers, who I've had a lot of faith in down the stretch here, and they've failed me almost every time. But I know Cincinnati's really good. Offensively, I got it. I understand that, but they're a little bit banged up at running back. That's going to hurt them a little bit. The weather, obviously, is probably going to be frigid at best. I think I saw 22 degrees, somewhere in that range around game time. Remember, it's Saturday night in Pittsburgh. Give me the Steelers plus the 2.5 against Joey B and the Bengals, who everybody wants in the playoffs because Joe Burrow is so fun. And he is. Pittsburgh plus the 2.5. Game three. Again, I'm kind of a sucker here, and I'll admit it. I have no rhyme or reason for this pick. Tampa Bay is going to win. They're at Raymond James. They do have the chance to advance up to the 3 seed, whatever that's ultimately worth. I mean, I think it's worth something. You get to avoid Detroit and or Minnesota. I'd rather take on Washington or Green Bay, but whatever. The Saints are 14-point underdogs in Tampa. And again, games are blowouts all the time. I'll just take my chances. If you give me such a wide margin that the Saints can somehow hang in there. They have been more competitive under Darren Rizzi. They are super duper banged up still. Got it. Tampa, Baker Mayfield was hot, hot, hot. 5 touchdowns last week. Baker, as we know, kind of rides the roller coaster a little bit. I'll just say the Saints, I think, can hang in there. They won't win, but give me the Saints plus the 14. So if you're with me, 2 of my first 3 picks, Cleveland plus 20, Saints plus 14. Game number 4. We just gave you the list. Matthew Stafford, no Kyren Williams, no Cooper Kupp, no Puka Nacua, couple of offensive linemen down. The Rams are 6.5-point dogs at home. I was listening to one of the Odyssey Infinity Sports Radio minutes. I forget who did it. But apparently Geno Smith's got all sorts of huge incentives available in this game that he can make like an extra $4 or $5 million somehow. I think between that and the Rams basically mailing it in like they do every preseason game, give me Seattle minus 6.5. And even though Seattle's not going to the playoffs, they'd like to win 10 games in Mike McDonald's first year. That says something. I don't know what it says, but it says something. Give me Seattle minus 6.5 on the road against the Rams. Game number 5, the game of the week, Sunday Night Football. Detroit on the short week, semi-long travel coming up from San Francisco Monday night late. Minnesota on the road. Yes. An intimidating place to play. Sure. They're not that intimidated. Unless Sam Darnold craps in his pants, which he hasn't really done much of this year. I like the Vikings. Plus the 2.5. Detroit's defense shredded with injury. Gave up a lot of points to that 49er offense last Monday night. Again, short week. Maybe they should have rested. They should have eased off. Give me Minnesota on the road plus 2.5 over Detroit. And finally, the Commanders and the Cowboys. Line sits at 6.5 on ESPN Bet. It's just what I happen to pull up and use. No affiliation. 6.5. I think the Commanders win this game. The question for me all along has been, how much do they win it by? I see this game being a first half kind of authoritative step by the Commanders. And maybe they let off the gas pedal in the second half a little bit. Let Dallas close the gap. Let Dallas close the door. But late somehow, last couple of minutes of the game, the Commanders re-exert a little authority and close it out, win by 6.5. Maybe it's just a touchdown. Maybe it's barely a cover. Give me the Commanders. Minus 6.5, baby, in Dallas on Sunday afternoon. So, Cleveland plus 20 at Baltimore. Pittsburgh plus 2.5 at home against Cincinnati tomorrow night. Saints plus 14 at Tampa. Seattle minus 6.5 at the Rams. Minnesota plus 2.5 over Detroit in Motown. And the Commanders minus 6.5 over the Cowboys. And finally, our Super Six-Pack. 6 NFL teams ranked 1 through 6. No committee, no nothing, no honorable mention, unlike others. We don't waste any time with that. The Kansas City Chiefs stay at number 1. Duh. Even though they're likely to lose and they're almost 11-point dogs this week. Number 2, Buffalo. The Bills. Let's go, Buffalo. Number 3, the Detroit Lions. Playing for the top seed in the conference Sunday night at home. Number 4, the team that they'll play against, the Minnesota Vikings. What a year for KOC and Sam Darnold, man. Whew. You got a lot of weapons, but what a year. Team number 5, the Baltimore Ravens. And number 6, even though the Eagles beat them, I still go Ravens over the Eagles because of how banged up right now the Eagles are. Now, Saquon Barkley's just resting because the game doesn't really mean anything. But Jalen Hurts, Kenny Pickett, I got to factor that in because I don't know how, who, what those guys are going to be like next week in the playoffs. So give me the Eagles 6 behind the Ravens, even though the Eagles beat the Ravens in the regular season just a couple of weeks ago. And you can make an argument. The Ravens at 11-5, who are 2 games behind the Eagles. Again, the Eagles beat the Ravens 2 games behind. Because of those injury unknowns, I'm slightly leaning towards the Ravens. Maybe a little controversial. I don't know. That's just the way I feel. All right, so real quickly going through that. 1-6, Chiefs, Buffalo, Detroit, Minnesota, Baltimore, Eagles, number 6. I'm probably shortchanging the Eagles, but the injury questions are huge for me. All right, that does it for our final regular season Super 6-pack, dual Super 6-packs for a Sunday, Week 18 in the NFL. Time for a quick trending alert, and then we come back with a little cleanup on aisle 3 action next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so the Commanders are getting set to take off for Dallas tomorrow after a walkthrough. They'll play the Cowboys, 1 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday afternoon in Week 18, Game 17, looking for win number 12. They've already ruled out veteran corner Marshon Lattimore, who has now missed 6 of his first 8 games with the Commanders as well. Jordan McGee has been ruled out on top of that, along with Tyler Owens, the rookie safety and special teamer, who made the initial 53-man roster. They've all been ruled out for Sunday. We get it going at 9 a.m. with the Force of Earl and finish it up with the DOC taking your calls after the game, win or lose. And we might at some point find out during that show where the Commanders are going to play in round 1 in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. Meanwhile, from college football, Steve Sarkisian says Ohio State is the best team in college football. He's probably not wrong. Texas is going to play Ohio State in Arlington at Jerry's World this Friday in the Cotton Bowl Classic after they destroyed Ohio State. Oregon in the Rose Bowl, and Texas barely got past Arizona State in double overtime. Also, the Wizards in New Orleans tonight, where obviously they are dealing with much, much, much more than an NBA game. Our coverage underway right here on the Team 980 beginning at 7:45 after a quick bet MGM tonight and Craig Hoffman, who comes up at 4 o'clock. Bloomberg 99.1 has the Georgetown Hoyas at Capital One Arena against Xavier. Again, 7:45 for the coverage on that with Rich Shavotkin and JT the Vic. And then on 106.7 The Fan, right after Grant and Danny at 5:30, you got Virginia Tech pregame, the Duke's Mayo Classic down in Charlotte. It is Virginia Tech. It is Minnesota in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Coverage again, 5:30, 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. And that is what's trending.
The Chickren left side. Fired it back in, race for the puck to your corner. Chicken remained on the power play 1. McMichael was bumped down. Here is Ovechkin shooting. He scores! It's a power play goal for Alex Ovechkin. His 18th of the year. Goal 871 of his career. It's tied 2-2. Washington and Minnesota.
John Walton on the call. Last night, 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app, Caps Radio, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Marc-Andre Fleury not able to stop that. He was able to stop Alex Ovechkin in overtime, but Ovechkin moving one step closer to the great one. 24 away now. Caps lose in a shootout. We'll get into a little bit of that here in just a sec. But the bottom line is Ovechkin now 3 goals in his first 4 games back. And again, now 24 away from passing Wayne Gretzky. People, it might just happen this year. What was thought to be very unlikely at the beginning of the season. 871 goals. Needs 23 to tie, 24 to break to get to 895. Chasing 895, again, brought to you by our friends at Main Street Bank. All right, you know what time it is. Oh, approaching 342 right here on the Team 980 on a feel-good football Friday. And again, it is getting pretty damn dark out. It almost feels like we're doing a nighttime show, and it's 340 in the afternoon. It's pretty scary. It is what it is. It's January, and it's snowing and all that good stuff. So please be safe out there. All right. We need to clean some things up on aisle three as we try and do each and every day. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, so the Capitals will be back in action tomorrow afternoon. Quick turnaround, noon Eastern time, ABC, the national coverage against the New York Rangers, who have struggled a little bit the first half of this year. But before we get there, we look back quickly at last night's shootout overtime loss to the Minnesota Wild, 4-2-3. Now, first of all, the Wild, a good team, as we mentioned yesterday. Now 24-11-4. And they're 14-3-3 away from Minneapolis-St. Paul. So not a surprise. However, they were without a couple of their key players. And that's what made last night somewhat disappointing. Kirill Kaprizov, their best player, was out. Their captain was out. So that's the disappointing part. To lose 4-3, shootout, listen, it happens, for God's sakes. I mean, we all know the nature of shootouts. Again, the Capitals gave up just the one goal, but they didn't have any answers offensively. And perhaps maybe they were kind of sort of deflated from this. It looked like at one point the Capitals were going to take a 4-2 lead in the third period on a Tom Wilson deflected goal, but, and I think correctly, it was ruled that he touched the puck above the crossbar. On video replay, it was confirmed, or so the NHL says. The call and the initial call on the ice, which was emphatic, and that took a goal off the board for the Capitals, which again would have made it, at that point, it would have made it 4-2. And right away, and right after that, Marco Rossi scored his 15th goal of the year to retie up the game at 3-3. So again, the Capitals went from thinking they may have had a 4-2 lead, and now right away after that, maybe 30 seconds after that, after the review is done, at 11:19 of the third period, boom, Rossi scores, and it's 3-3. Now, you go back to the Minnesota second goal of the game, and this is kind of where the game was really lost, if I'm being honest. Somebody named Yakov Trenin scored a shorthanded goal. How did they score a shorthanded goal? Because Charlie Lindgren butchered one behind his net. Only way to say it. I mean, Charlie was, you know, good, solid. Very good at times. But gave up the one goal in overtime or in the shootout. And more importantly, that second goal, yeesh, which gave Minnesota a 2-1 lead. I mean, if you're going to make mistakes like that, you know, sometimes they're going to come back and haunt you. And Minnesota, again, even without a couple of their key guys, still pretty damn good. Still pretty damn good. All right. Wanted to spend a minute or so on that. Tonight, we mentioned a lot of sports, actually. And we have it covered for you. So we'll whip around real quickly here. Over on 106.7 The Fan. Again, pregame starts at 5:30. Kickoff, 7:30. For the Virginia Tech Hokies, 6-6 against Minnesota at 7-5 in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Now, listen. One of the interesting things about this game is, you know, when you have a team that's trying to get over 500, that knows that their quarterback is coming back next year and knows that they also have a promising other quarterback, and you're 10-point dogs, you've got a lot of meat dangling in front of you, right? Now, Minnesota has won 7 bowl games in a row. But Virginia Tech has something to play for here. Again, they're 10-point dogs. They have the 500. They have a little bit of momentum. A little bit of momentum. A little bit of hope. After a disappointing up and down year, I think Virginia Tech can hang in there and give Minnesota a pretty damn good ball game here. I mean, you have Kyron Drones, Pop Watson in case something happens to Drones. You've got Bijan Tuten. You've got APR, pass rush. Again, you beat Virginia last time out, granted, in Blacksburg, 37-17. Minnesota's not great by any stretch, but in their last game, they beat Wisconsin at Camp Randall, impressively 24-7. Again, Minnesota should win this game, but I think Virginia Tech hangs in there, and I think this is a one-possession game down to the end, and maybe Virginia Tech can pull it out, but I definitely think they cover, for whatever that's worth. So that's the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And, the one other thing that I forgot to mention, Virginia Tech's had all sorts of departures from their team and some big defensive backs and all that, which makes me a little bit worried. But they're getting Bud Foster back. Bud Foster is going to maintain be a part of the coaching staff again moving forward, says Brent Pry. Not as the defensive coordinator, but the longtime defensive coordinator. And very well-respected Bud Foster is now back with Virginia Tech in kind of an unspecified defensive advisory role, for whatever that's worth. We'll see. Again, game 7:30 on the 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, over here on the Team 980, we have the Wizards in New Orleans. And listen, normally this game wouldn't get you exactly all lathered up, but the Pelicans are 5-29. The Wizards have played better of late. They beat the Bulls the other night. They hung in there at least for one of the two against the Knicks, extended them into overtime, beat the Hornets a week 8 days ago. The Wizards are 6-25. They can win this game. The Pelicans stink, obviously. All sorts of injuries for the Pels. Zion Williamson is out. Brandon Ingram is out. You know, who knows what the mental state, if you will, of the Pelicans is from everything that they're dealing with down in New Orleans. Their last time out, they lost at Miami on New Year's Day, 119-108. They've lost, have the Pelicans, they have lost 11 in a row. My bad. I was looking at the wrong number. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. So certainly a great opportunity for the Wizards tonight. Georgetown and Xavier. Again, you can catch that one. Bloomberg 99.1. Hey, listen, we don't talk about Georgetown a whole lot, but they have certainly played better in year two under Ed Cooley. You know, I have no idea what to expect crowd-wise tonight with the snow and all that stuff. You know, it's Friday night, kind of a late-ish start. But I'll watch some of that as I'm bouncing around between the Virginia Tech game, the Wizards, and a little Friday Night Smackdown. I think 3 hours of Friday Night Smackdown tonight on old USA. So, yeah, a lot going on. But that does it for cleanup on aisle three. Coming up next, dum-dum of the day. That's right. We start off the new year a little bit late because we had to do more out of the month yesterday. But dum-dum of the day, we'll wrap it up before we turn things over to Craig Hoffman coming up in about 10 minutes right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, time to wrap it up here. Dum-dum of the day to end the week.
It's time for dum-dum of the day.
Headline, bored influencer. Isn't every influencer bored and has nothing else to do? Defends brazenly faking her own kidnapping, saying, quote, I was just having fun. Well, honey, sweetheart, you're gorgeous and all, but we don't need to be you. Victoria Rose, an Instagram content creator, whatever the hell that means, faked her own abduction, claiming she was just having a little bit of fun to her 3.7 million Instagram followers. I'm sure all of those people are following her for all the right reasons. In a series of now deleted tweets from alleged captors, she deleted them because they were saying that she had been kidnapped in Nigeria. One of the tweets, one of the messages said, quote, I have kidnapped Vicky, short for Victoria. She is with me in Nigeria. I am demanding $1 million for her release. Well, she even went on Instagram Live, did this whole thing, and now she's being forced to apologize because of what she's calling a prank. Not thinking things through comes with consequences, and I'm paying for it now. Apparently, her brother, family was going nuts looking for her in Nigeria and all of this stuff. Long story short, please, please, let's not be that bored. I've got a million things. You want to come clean out my garage? I'll make you not bored, honey.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
What a dope. How could you be that bored? Find something to do. Read a book. Donate some time to charity. Do a radio show, for God's sakes. Help Matt out. Greg Hoffman coming up next. Have a safe weekend. My goodness, be careful on the roads. Go Commanders minus the 6.5. See you back here on Monday when we'll know the opponent and the date and time and a lot more. Have a great, safe weekend. Adios on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.